Everybody, welcome into the Cubs Weekly Podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Tony Andracki. This is Andy Martinez here, and this is my favorite podcast of the year. It's the season preview podcast. 2024 season is upon us. So, Andy, you're just back from Arizona. Frigid Chicago weather. We'll see how everything lines up before the home opener here at Wrigley. But what were your takeaways from spring? What were some of the things that kind of stood out to you, and especially as we see this roster forming?
I think there was a lot that stood out to me, but one of the big things was just the impact that Craig Counsell's having already. I've heard it multiple times from different players and coaches, the attention to detail. Like, everything is done with a purpose. You're not just doing this drill to get reps in the cage. Like, it's about maximizing what you're doing and focusing on the details. There were some drills that we're doing that I remember talking to another reporter. He's like, yeah, my little league team does this. And it's like, yes, it's not that they need to know how to do this drill. It's just to reinforce that, hey, you need to be able to do this. Like, hey, let's make sure we're sharp on this aspect. The attention to detail to me was one of the things that stood out to me. And it's something that Craig Counsell teams have kind of been known to do in Milwaukee. I'm curious to see how it pans out once the games start counting for real.
And I think the opening day roster, too, is something that every spring is always a big deal. I think one thing that Counsell said, and Jed reiterated as well, is you're setting a roster for day one, for game one of 162. It's going to change. It might even change by game two, depending on how things play out. But as of right now, the roster looks like Garrett Cooper is going to make the team here as a non-roster invitee. We know what the bullpen, what the rotation looks like with Jameson Taillon starting the year on the IL, Patrick Wisdom on the IL, Nick Madrigal looks to be ready to go, and Ian Happ as well after some injuries. But what did you kind of take away from the roster and how this 26-man group is shaping up?
Yeah, to your point about it being flexible, the opening day is important. Every player wants to be on the roster on opening day, but it's going to change. I look at San Francisco. Mike Yastrzemski is going to be on the roster on opening day. He's going to go on paternity leave this weekend, most likely. Like,
oh, really?
the roster changes right away, and the roster that they have come Thursday is probably not going to be the same one that's there in 2 weeks. It's going to change. There's going to be a lot of turnover. The biggest name that was probably an omission, especially seeing it on social media, was Alexander Canario. A lot of fans were kind of like, well, why isn't Alexander Canario being picked up? Why isn't he being carried? Why isn't he playing? And I totally 100% understand the argument for wanting Canario on the roster. I think he had a pretty solid spring. He is a really, really good bat. A lot, talking to a lot of coaches and players, like, they love the changes that he did this offseason, what he could do. But the fact of the matter is he was just not going to be getting enough playing time early on to warrant carrying him on the roster. Right now he's at the point where he just needs at-bats, he needs reps, he needs everyday playing time. He wasn't going to be getting that, and that's exactly what Craig Counsell said. Like, hey, he looked at situations, and most of them don't include Alexander Canario getting a lot of at-bats. So how do you maximize his development? You send him down to AAA. I believe you were the one that pointed out, like, the first three series, they faced two lefties. That's probably when he would have been getting a lot of at-bats. And if it's only two in the first, 9-10 games,
yeah,
that's not a good recipe for him to stay hot and to be able to play, especially in this weather, as we know here in Chicago, where it's going to be cold, it's going to be frigid. You're not going to be swinging your best. David Ross always used to say, you're not going to feel your sexiest early on. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of what it's going to be like early on. Like, you need to be able to have those everyday consistent reps, and he's going to be able to get that in Iowa, in a very, very loaded outfield in Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a good point, is that, like, even the first five series, I think we zoomed out, and there's projected to be, like, two or three left-handed starters,
right,
overall, based on the opening day rosters for these teams. Again, that could change by April 10th or something like that for however the schedule lines up. And for the most part, I mean, there's a lot of righties in the division as well. So you play your division teams most often. And I think I totally understand where the Cubs are coming from, because Canario, 23 years old, right, younger guy, like, you don't want to just pigeonhole him into a platoon situation where he's facing lefties only. And if they don't feel like he's up to facing righties now in the big leagues, then, yeah, send him down to AAA, where he's only played 60 games or something so far. So I think that's huge. I mean, coming off the injuries where that sapped more than half of his season last year, then he spent September in Chicago where he barely played as well. So, like, I think he learned a lot during that month, but it makes a lot of sense to start the year, kind of get a normal year underneath him in AAA, and then maybe come up to the big leagues, and maybe he forces his way up. That's one thing that stood out to me from what Counsell was saying throughout spring, is guys are going to knock the door down and force their way up. Same with Pete Carr-Armstrong, who was optioned down earlier in camp. Like, go down, their message to them is go down to the minors, hit, force your way up, produce, pitch well for guys maybe like Hayden Wesneski or Ben Brown or something too. Force your way onto the roster, and then we'll figure out the rest from there. And, I mean, again, they could even figure that out by, like, April 10th. Like, we just don't know.
Right, and it's something that Counsell has mentioned too, is, like, the message is it's not the Chicago Cubs and the Iowa Cubs. It's the Cubs, right? Like, they are all one connected organization. He stressed that. He told Daniel Pelosi when he got optioned. He told Pete Crow Armstrong when he got optioned. Like, he told all these guys, you're going to help us out at some point. It's just not going to be on March 28th. It's going to be, could happen in July. It could happen in April. It could happen in September. These guys are all going to contribute to the Chicago Cubs, and that's been Craig Counsell's message. It's not a decision that on April or on March 28th, it's going to be the same thing on September 28th. Like, it's going to be evolving. It's going to be a process. And that is important to keep in mind that, yes, you probably wanted to see an Alexander Canary. You probably wanted to see a Hayden Wesneski in the Chicago Cubs roster. But at the end of the day, like, they're making the decisions for the whole season and not just for March 28th.
And then the pitching staff, too. I mean, Drew Smyly's going to be in the bullpen. Javier Assad won the final starter spot. I think all along in spring, we were thinking that Jordan Wicks made a lot of sense for the rotation. Seemed to be like a certainty at some point throughout, you know, the middle of spring there. But we're going to see Wicks and Assad in the rotation, Smyly in the bullpen, Luke Little also making the bullpen. What did you kind of make of the way the Cubs are putting this pitching staff together here?
It's an interesting way that they're doing it. And something that stood out to me is, like, all these guys are going to get starts. Like, this five-man rotation is not going to be the five-man rotation all season. Obviously, Jameson Taillon coming back is going to add a wrinkle. I assume Hayden Wesneski will get some starts at some point. Ben Brown might be getting some starts at some point. There's going to be a lot of guys that get starts throughout the course of the year. Drew Smyly was, to me, the most interesting person in terms of the mix. I thought there was a good shot he could make the rotation. Just he added a splitter. He was trying to work in a slider this offseason.
And a veteran with 10-plus years
right,
of starting.
Right, like, yeah. Kind of just merited that opportunity. But he makes a lot of sense in the bullpen. He was pretty good in that role late in the season. He can provide length. He can come in for one inning. He can do a lot of things in that bullpen. And Drew Smyly mentioned it. Like, Craig Counsell can work a bullpen really, really well. And having that kind of weapon of Drew Smyly where they can cover, he can maybe get a three inning save, or he can get three outs against a pocket of lefties, like, whatever the situation might be, it's going to make a lot of sense for Drew Smyly to be in the bullpen, and it gives him options. And realistically, like, Javier Assad's probably going to make some appearances out of the bullpen. Just the way things line up, it might even happen in these first few weeks, like, just to keep him fresh. Like, it's just going to be interesting to see how Craig Counsell uses his bullpen, because that's one thing he's had a ton of success in Milwaukee.
And I think, too, like, when the position player front, like, there's a couple interesting guys that are kind of flying under the radar, at least one in particular. So let's kind of navigate over to some of the fun parts of this podcast as well. We're going to make our predictions for the 2024 season. So, Andy, I'm going to start with you, position player group, under the radar player to keep an eye on this season.
So this might be the people might not think this is an under the radar person, but I feel like he's flown under the radar all spring and all offseason. It's Michael Busch. The acquisition from the Dodgers, he has got a really, really nice swing.
He does.
He had a home run, I believe it was against Cleveland or Cincinnati. It was in Goodyear, where he just crushed it to center field off the batter's eye. And it was kind of like, wow, like, that's, I see what they see in Michael Busch. Like, he is really, really good. First base is going to be a question for sure. Like, he hasn't played in professional ranks, really. Played in college, but transitioning over to first base, I'm curious how that will go over. But if he can swing and put up the numbers that he did in the minor leagues, that's a game changer for this lineup, if you think about it. When you have Cody Bellinger, you have a red-hot Seiya Suzuki, you insert a Michael Busch that can maybe be a game changer in that 5-6 spot in the lineup, that lengthens the lineup so, so much.
Yeah, and I mean, his AAA numbers are just incredible last
right.
year. And he had drove in almost a run a game, you know, 20-plus homers in the Dodgers system. He was, I believe, they're like the MVP, too, and only playing 90-something games down there.
Yep.
He just never has had an opportunity at the big leagues to get this sort of runway. So I'm with you. I mean, I think he's my pick, and we'll see a little bit later on, for breakout guy, another guy in that category, too. But I think for me, in terms of under-the-radar players, I'm going to go with five guys who are all off the roster. So we talk about the 40-man roster, the Cubs. They're going to need more than 40 in all likelihood. I mean, 3 years ago, they used 69 players. I don't think they're going to use almost 70 guys again this year. But, like, if they use 50 or 45 or whatever else. And so I think that Edwin Escobar, Richard Lovelady, Brad Wick, three lefties in the bullpen, Ethan Roberts, and Cam Sanders. So some of those are familiar names. Brad Wick, Ethan Roberts have pitched in the Cubs bullpen. They're recovering from Tommy John injuries. I don't know exactly when they're going to be ready. Brad Wick made a couple appearances in spring. Roberts didn't. But Cam Sanders is a guy who has been in the system for a while. He's always had elite stuff, but it's just a matter of harnessing it and getting control. He only walked one guy in seven spring appearances. So spring stats may not matter, but like something like that, I feel like matters. He's a guy that if he puts it together control-wise, he can be back up there. And then Richard Lovelady and Edwin Escobar, it's just a couple of lefties where you already talked about it. It's Drew Smyly and Luke Littler are the only lefty relief options on the 40-man right now. If those guys get injured at some point, or Smiley's needing the rotation, or whatever else happens, the little struggles after only seven appearances in the big leagues, I think one of these other guys could get the call to Chicago at some point this year. So stay tuned to some of those guys who are off the 40-man right now. But Andy, let's move on to biggest surprise this season, a player or a topic or anything that you think would be the biggest surprise of the Cubs year.
I'm gonna go Seiya Suzuki, and maybe that isn't a surprise just given how he performed in spring. But I'll go as far as to say, I wouldn't be shocked if he's getting down ballot MVP votes. Like, I think he can have that kind of season. He looked really, really good the last 2 months of the season. This is his first real normal spring training. Like, think about the first year, there was the lockout. It was a shortened spring. Then he got hurt early on in the season. Then last year, he was getting ready for the WBC, gets hurt, misses most of spring, had a tough ramp up to get back into to playing shape, really.
Missed the first two months.
At one point gets benched, given just how the lineup had turned out for the Cubs. Turns it on those last 2 months. Every time in spring, he was hitting the ball hard, whether it was a hit or an out. And then there was just some hits where he was just like making like a bloop single would fall for him. It's just like, this guy needs the season to start. And I'm excited to see what he can do with this whole ramp up that he's had, this normal ramp up for the first time in his career, in major league career.
And that kind of segues into what I think is the biggest surprise for this Cubs season is, I think the Cubs are going to finish top three in the National League in runs scored again. They did last year, which maybe even comes as some surprise to some people as well, because they were behind only the Dodgers and the Braves in terms of runs scored. So they were sixth in all of Major League Baseball, third in the NL. I think they can do it again, and I think a big reason for it is Seiya. When you consider that you brought back Cody Bellinger, that's a huge move, of course. Even if he doesn't put up, you know, MVP caliber numbers like he did last year, it's a big bat in the middle of the lineup. But if Seiya, especially if he's hitting it in that two spot like he has been for a lot of spring, the way it looks like it's kind of line up this year, I think he can be, if he's a consistent force, like that's huge, huge for the Cubs offense. And then you add in Michael Busch, who we already talked about, like another lefty out there. You have some depth in Mike Tauchman. I think there's more to, you know, in terms of Dansby Swanson and Ian Happ as well, like two guys who Happ last year wanted to hit for more power. He drew almost 100 walks. He's going to be in the leadoff spot at least to start the year. But he's a guy that if he gets back to the 25 homers a year that he's putting up, that's another big part of the Cubs offense. And Dansby himself felt like he kind of faded down the stretch a little bit. He also missed time for the first time in 3 years in his career. If he's out there every day, if his offense kind of gets back to the way it was the last couple of years in Atlanta, I think the sky is the limit for this Cubs offense right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's a very underrated part of this team. They were third, I believe, in the National League, like you said, in offense. Like, this is, they're bringing back most of the core, and if Michael Busch takes off, if Seiya continues to do it, it's a recipe, it's the formula for good offense.
All right, let's move on to 2024 Cubs breakout player. So it's a guy we've already talked about, your pick. We've already talked about him a little bit here, but who are you going with?
I'm going with Canario. I think he will force the issue at some point this year, whether that happens 2 weeks into April or that happens in May. I think he forces the issue. I think he could be a really good DH option. I think he could be a really good platoon option for some of the guys in the outfield or give some guys a rest. And I think he can be a really, really big difference maker for the Cubs. He had, like I mentioned, he had a swing change a little bit. He's also been working on being more selective in his pitches. I had someone with the Cubs tell me, like, they believe that he could be elite. Like, that's how confident they are in his swing. So I'm picking Alexander Canario as a breakout candidate for this year.
His last full season in the minors, he hit 37 homers, stole 20 bases. Like, yeah, he's definitely a guy in pretty good plate discipline as well. So if he gets to that point, like, I would not be surprised for sure that a breakout is coming for him. For me, I went Michael Busch. That was one of my options. We already, I think, talked about why I believe Busch kind of fits for that. But also, I'm going to go with Luke Little. And I'm going to use Craig Counsell's words to explain why Luke Little is my breakout pick. This is what Counsell said right towards the end of spring training. Really, I think as much as any pitcher in spring, Luke showed uncomfortableness from hitters. Luke is young and Luke is inexperienced, but when you see that from major league hitters, we definitely take note of it. So I look forward to seeing Luke get some opportunities and hopefully earning some bigger opportunities as we go. So he was just asked about Luke Little making the opening day roster and then launched into why Little has looked so good so far this spring. And a guy with seven appearances, he's a big guy, which is kind of funny given his name, but like from the left side too, he's a guy that's making big league hitters uncomfortable even in spring. It's something they've taken note of, and I think Cubs fans will take note of for sure throughout this season as well.
Yeah, I think he is. If I had to pick a bullpen guy to break out, that's my choice. Like, I think he can be a real weapon for Craig Counsell in his bullpen usage.
Yeah, and when we come back, we're going to make some bold predictions. We're going to give a Cubs win total and everything else. But right now, we are going to take a quick break here on the Cubs Weekly Podcast. Stay tuned for the second half.
You've got the jersey, the ball cap, the foam finger. Everyone can see you're a Chicago Cubs fan from a mile away. Ready to take your look to the next level? Upgrade your wallet with an exclusive Cubs debit card, which you can get when you open a Wintrust Cubs checking account. With no monthly fees, free ATMs nationwide, and a $300 bonus when you open your account. Start showing your Cubs pride with every purchase. Sign up at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Only $100 required to open. No monthly minimum balance and no monthly maintenance fees. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the Cubs Weekly Podcast. I'm Tony Andracki. This is Andy Martinez, and we're going to keep the prediction train rolling here. So Andy, your Cubs 2024 MVP, who you got?
I got to go with Sei Suzuki. If I'm saying he's getting down ballot votes, he's going to have a breakout campaign and going to be the Cubs MVP. So it's an easy one for me. What about you?
No, I can't argue that for sure. I'm going to go with Nico Hoerner because I just like what Nico's style is for this team. And I mean, I feel like he's almost been underrated this spring. We talk about Seiya, we talk about Bellinger coming back and Michael Busch and some of these other guys. But Nico Hoerner is a guy who stole 40-plus bases last year, you know, almost scored 100 runs, and that was going on the IL at one point as well. His defense is great. He won a gold glove. He's such a huge part of what the team does, and if he ends up hitting, like, six or so in the order, he is so good with runners in scoring position, will drive in a lot of runs. So I feel like Nico is kind of an underrated guy that just does so many winning things that will help the Cubs get to the place where they want to go. All right, let's move on to Cy Young. Who do you got?
I'm going with Shota Imanaga. I know his spring numbers weren't the best. They don't look great if you look at them. But I watched that minor league game where he faced the Giants, and the movement on some of his pitches, his fastball's got like ride action to it that it does not look like a fastball. The slider is I don't know how people are going to hit it. I think his tendency will be a fly ball pitcher, and Craig Counsell said this. So I do worry that sometimes when things go bad, it could be really bad just because I think that would mean like a lot of fly balls.
Like wind blowing out.
Right, Wrigley, wind blowing out. Yeah. And yeah, like the recipe could be bad when it goes bad. But I think when he's good and he figures things out, like he makes adjustments on the fly, I think he could be really, really good for the Chicago Cubs and be almost like an undervalued signing for them at the end of the season.
Yeah, the pitching philosopher, or the throwing philosopher, is his nickname. So I could see that for sure. For my pick for Cy Young, I'm going to go with the really easy route, Justin Steele. I mean, reasoning that you had for Seiya Suzuki. I mean, Steele got Cy Young votes last year. I think he could get Cy Young votes this year. Makes a lot of sense. But in the non-Steele category, I'm going to go with Hector Neris. I really think that Neris was like this great signing for the team. We've already seen, and you had this awesome story on MarqueeSportsNetwork.com about Neris's leadership and how he's taken some of the guys, especially like Daniel Palencia and Albert Alzolay, under his wing in the bullpen. I think he's just going to be a huge asset for this team. Whether he closes or not, it's just his leadership, his veteran experience is going to be really big for Council's bullpen.
I will add the caveat, too, of spring numbers. Neris, again, another guy that weren't great, but I don't put a ton of stock in spring numbers, especially for pitchers, because they might be throwing the same pitch like 10 times in an inning. Like they're working on things. Don't take spring stats with a grain of salt.
There's one thing I learned from a Craig Counsell camp, it's that you don't worry about spring stats at all. Yeah, they only matter until they matter.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which does happen occasionally, like Seiya Suzuki hitting six home runs.
Right.
All right, so what series on the 2024 Cubs schedule are you circling and you find the most interesting?
I think it's an easy one. May 27th, Craig Counsell and the Cubs go to Milwaukee. First time Craig Counsell's back in Milwaukee. I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, that's where he grew up. That's where he was raised, not only as a human being, but as a manager and as a baseball player. Like he was Milwaukee Brewer through and through, and now he's coming down south with the rival. Like when he goes up north to Milwaukee, I'm curious to see how that kind of relationship and that fan reaction will be at American Family Fields.
Yeah, I mean, he was saying in spring when he went over to play to Maryville to play the Brewers for the first time that he didn't really notice if fans were booing or anything. He's so locked in. And people were asking, we were asking him in the media, like, how is he going to react when he goes to Milwaukee for the first time? He's like, I don't know. I'll kind of, you know, I'm more of a, in the moment, I'll see how that, my reaction comes, you know, at that time. But, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some boos. Of course, like, Brewers fans are going to be upset. There's also going to be a lot of Cubs fans, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of cheers. But I think that's going to be a really interesting series for sure. For me, I went with a couple. So April 26th through 28th, Cubs at Fenway Park. Anytime you have the Cubs and Red Sox playing at Fenway Park, it's incredible. It's going to be a series that I'm really, really looking forward to tuning into. And then I think the last series of the year, September 27th through 29th, Cubs are hosting the Reds at Wrigley. That could very well decide the division. I think the Cubs and Reds are the two teams that are going to finish first and second in this division. It very well may come down to the final three games. So I think that's going to be a ton of fun to watch there. All right, Andy, moving on, next category here. What minor leaguer, Cubs minor leaguer, that has not yet made their MLB debut will debut this season and make an impact this year?
I'm going with Matt Shaw. And I think he was, him and Owen Casey were the two prospects that kind of wowed me the most in spring. Like, I knew they were good, but seeing them in person, sometimes against major league pitching, I'm like, wow, these guys are really, really good. I think there's a chance Matt Shaw comes up this year and really, really does something special for the Cubs, at least offensively, because I think his bat is for sure major league ready. Like, it looks really, really good. There's going to be some adjustments once he gets to the major leagues, but I'm really, really impressed by Matt Shaw. And it's not crazy to think that a guy who was drafted the last year can reach the major leagues. We're seeing it with the Texas Rangers, Wyatt Langford.
We saw it
was the number four pick overall. Yeah. Like, he's going to be in the he's on the opening day roster.
Nico did it as well.
Like, there's a very good chance that Matt Shaw could be in the major leagues and be an offensive contributor for the Cubs.
So I was just talking to Cole Wright before coming on this podcast, and he said the same thing. He was answering some social questions, and he thinks Shaw is going to debut this year. So yeah, I think I love the kid. I think the Cubs do too. His defense at third was also impressive, so I think that's an option there as well. I'm going to go with, and again, this is players who have not yet made their big league debut, so not Pete Carmstrong, not Alexander Canario, that kind of stuff, but I'm going to go with Owen Casey. I think I was the most impressed. That was my number one takeaway from all of spring, is that Owen Casey is a really good baseball player.
Really,
I'm all aboard the Owen Casey train. Like, I think he's going to be a star. I think he might be really good, even a DH for this team as soon as, like, this summer. But, like, he was the best player on the field a bunch, whether he was on there with major league players or not. He was just a really, really good player. He's a good hitter. He came off the bench a couple of times and made some, you know, had some really good at-bats. Pretty fast in the outfield. I think the Cubs are really impressed there. So I see Owen Casey being a big part of the Cubs lineup in the future, and that could even start as early as, like, July or August this year. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun to keep an eye on. All right, this is my favorite category, Andy. Bold prediction for the 2024 Cubs season.
Cubs win their first playoff game in 7 years, and they reach the NLDS.
It's crazy. It's been 7 years.
It is. Like, we were talking about in the press box, like, either last week or so, some of the other reporters, it's like, wow, they have not. And I think the other stat we brought up, that they've scored one run since 2017 in the playoffs. Like, this is going to be, I think this is the year that all those trends get bucked. Like, I think they can definitely go to the playoffs. I think they go to the playoffs, they win the wild card round, they go to the DS, and at that point, it's a crapshoot once you get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It really gets into a crapshoot in the NLDS.
I like that one. I probably would have had a similar bold prediction. I don't want to take yours, you know, this kind of boring podcast,
right,
boring
right.
show. But I'm going to go with Kyle Hendricks makes the All-Star team. Do you know Kyle Hendricks has never made the All-Star team?
That's insane to me.
That's crazy. 10 years. So 10 years, this will be his 11th season. He's never made the All-Star team. He got MVP votes in 2016. He's been in Cy Young voting 2 years in his career, in 2020 and 2016. But he's never made the All-Star team, which is really nuts, I think. So I do think it's a bit of a stretch, because for pitchers to make the All-Star team,
it's so hard.
You just have to have a really good April and May at least, and then voting starts in June, and then, you know, you got to get to that point, and obviously, you know, the peers and coaches and stuff that have to vote you in as a pitcher. It might be difficult, especially if his teammate like Justin Steele is already on there. Maybe
right.
Shota Imanaga is as
right.
well. But that's why it's a bold prediction. So I say Kyle Hendricks, he's healthy to start the year. I think he looked like vintage Hendricks a lot more last year than he did in 2021 and 22. So I think he can kind of right the ship. And I think there's a lot left in the tank, even though he's 34 right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's crazy to me that he hasn't been an All-Star. And I think that's a really good bold prediction to see it this year.
All right, let's zoom out a bit. So bold prediction, 2024 MLB season, not Cubs related.
My bold prediction is the Yankees and Red Sox finish 4-5 in the AL East. I think there's a lot of question marks with the Yankees pitching staff.
Garrett Cole now. Yeah.
Right, right. The Red Sox offense looks pretty solid, but that pitching staff has a lot of question marks too. Maybe the Craig Breslow effect helps them out. I don't know, but like there's a lot of question marks. And then you look at who else is in the division. Toronto's really good playoff team last year. Baltimore won the division. Looks like they're a lot better, even better this year. Tampa Bay is always really, really solid. Like, I think those three teams are right now better than the Yankees and Red Sox. And the Yankees might bop their way to a lot of wins, but it's going to be I think it's going to be interesting to see how they overcome some of those pitching faults that they have on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's a pretty good prediction. You know, I think you could go more bold next year if you want to take my feedback.
Right, yeah, yeah, all right, yeah, maybe I will. Yeah, maybe,
I'd say go more bold next year, Andy. So for mine, I'm going to go with the Royals are going to win the World Series. Just kidding. I don't think the Royals are going to win the World Series. But Will Smith is on the roster, and he's won the last three World Series with three different teams. So
he's due.
Yeah.
Or he gets traded to the team that wins the World.
You're right. Okay, so it could be that. But right. Honestly, I really like what the Royals are doing. I love watching Bobby Witt Jr. play. But I think the Seattle Mariners will win the World Series this year. That's my actual bold prediction. Julio Rodriguez is my favorite player to watch in baseball right now. I love the guy. I really like the moves that they've made. Their rotation is awesome right now.
It's got to be like the most underrated staff in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I think George Kirby and Luis Castillo.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I mean, Andrés Muñoz is a great closer as long as he stays healthy. So I just really like the Mariners. And I also think the AL West is weaker than it has been. I mean, no Shohei. The Astros, I think, are vulnerable. Like, I think the Mariners can go out, win the division, and make it all the way to the World Series. So I'm going to go with that for my bold prediction. All right, so final one before we wrap up here, Andy. Going back to the Cubs, how many wins do the Cubs end up at this season?
I'm going to go 86. I think that gets them the division. I think it's going to be a dogfight in the actual division. I think there's going to be a lot of close series with Milwaukee, with St. Louis, with Cincinnati, that I think there's going to be some ground lost. I still think that they win the division, though. I think that they're clearly, at least on paper, the best team in the division. So I think they win the division. I think 86 gets it done.
No, I think that's fair. I'm going to go with 90. 90 is the Pythagorean record that they should have had last year. They should have had 90 wins instead of 83 based off of run differential and all the other stuff, the underlying metrics. And I think they can get there. I think the council effect is real. I think they will perform better in high leverage moments. That is really just random, and that's something Jed Hoyer talked about a ton in May last year from the team, is there's a lot of randomness that comes with high leverage moments, and I just believe a lot in the way Council manages a pitching staff and a bullpen, and the way that if the Cubs just get a little bit more lucky, maybe health is a little bit better for the team this year, which you can never promise, and already you have one of your rotation members and a valuable role player in Patrick Wisdom on the IL to start the year. You never really know, but I believe in the depth. I believe in all the young guys we talked about, whether it's PCA or Canario or Owen Casey or Matt Shaw, or on the pitching end, Ben Brown or Cade Horton or some of these other guys. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun year for sure to see. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Cubs Weekly Podcast. We'll have you covered all year in the Cubs Weekly Podcast coming out every Thursday. For Andy, I'm Tony. Thanks for tuning in.